This episode is brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief. Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark Flatt, and I'm calling in from the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania. Today, as always, I'm joined by my brother Dave. He's calling in from Maryland at the banks of the Potomac River. Thanks for joining us. Here we go.
I had this sergeant, not even kidding, first year of marriage, and what the fuck was his name? He was a tall, skinny guy. He was Mormon. We used to make fun of him all the time. He was an E6, Mormon E6, and he had 7 kids, and, you know, one day I was just fucking around with him. I was like, come on, sergeant, when's the last time you got laid? Seriously. And he's like, oh, shut the fuck up, you know, blah, 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 you know, respect your sergeants. And I was like, I will give you $50 if you've gotten laid in the last 6 months. And I pulled out $50 and put it on the table. And I know he's Mormon, so he's not going to lie to me, right? And he's like, go ahead and take the money. And he's like, and I'm like, oh, guys, sergeant hasn't had sex in over 6 months. He's like, shut the fuck up, Flat. And I'm like, oh. And I was like, so you have 6 kids? I was like, what did you have, like, sex like 8 times in order to get those 6 kids? And he was like, 9-10 times, yeah.
Fuck.
Again, you know, like yin and yang. Alright, so what are we talking about today, man?
The Oklahoma City Thunder.
Like we do every day.
We got, I've been seeing stuff from the exit interviews, and it's great to see people like Joe Mizzuto and stuff talking about a rebuild and talking about SGA. John was hitting us up, telling us all this stuff about, like, everybody's happy. Yeah. Like, everybody's bought in. Everybody understands, like, where we're at in the process. You know, man. What I mean? And that's significant. It's not like, I don't know. Whenever you, like, take a step back and you look at, like, this process 10 years later, like, the fact that you had buy-in from the cornerstones and all the way down to the role players, and then, like, the young players getting opportunities, like, this is the organizational values that, like, we haven't ever seen before. Mm. Like, this is uncommon in any sport, but, yeah. I mean, I don't know, dude. It's significant, man.
I agree, man. I feel like it's been fun to see how everything is rolling. I know when we came onto the scene last year and, what, I don't know, 15, 18 months ago, something like that now, you know, we hated the word tanking. I mean, it was the whole purpose of us starting this podcast. And it's kind of crazy because, like, I feel like Oklahoma City people finally, like, understood what we were saying. And, like, the verbiage was on that was not right. I mean, I understand that they were just trying to, you know, cause a discussion and different things like that. But when you attack a program, and that's exactly what you are doing, you're attacking an organization by calling them tankers. That looks bad on Sam Presti. I mean, Danny Ainge was never able to, or not Danny Ainge, I'm sorry. Philadelphia 76ers GM was... Sam Hinkie was never able to clear his name after what he did. Like, that's why we consistently said this is not a tanking. This is a rebuild. This team is going to rebuild very quickly. It's not going to be extended amount of time. And that's exactly what we've seen, Mark. And it's been fun.
Yeah, I mean, both the last 2 seasons, we've won over 20 games. And that's incredibly important for the team and the building process. And we could have easily been what a number of professionals had decided we would be coming into the season, which is one of the worst teams in NBA history. Like, that wouldn't have been very difficult if it was our prerogative, because the team basically at the end, we saw whenever you run out there 5 or 6 guys and you're holding people back, you saw what it can look like. It's not pretty. But the nice thing is we had the buy-in from the fans in Oklahoma City. Like, we were able to get enough positive momentum for the fans that, like, they continue to show up and they continue to cheer for the team. Yeah, not as much as when we were winning 50 games or whatever, but who cares? Like, this is a part of the process. A lot of people showed up to eyewitness the rebuild and see, like, this team in progress. So it's been really fun. And then on top of that, like, we're watching all of this, like, kind of come together where people are, like, assessing it. And they're like, man, like, this, if this is the worst of it, this is not that bad. And that's something that we all just need to, like, kind of, like, enjoy. Like, yeah, it sucks to lose games by 50 at the end of the season, right? But when people go out of their way to say, we're tanking, yeah, they're damaging the brand, the reputation of the team, the organization. But also, they're shitting on the players that are going out there and working hard in the uniform. And that's where I get, like, really defensive. Because, like, say what you want about our rookies, but or our sophomore players, but, like, to associate them with tanking is not good. It's not a good look for them. And players, sometimes they never recover from that. So we've always leaned into the idea that it's a rebuild and that we're retooling and we're giving these young guys opportunities. And that's what this process is about.
Absolutely, man. We only had 8 guys that played 50 games or more. That was Aaron Wiggins at 50, Trey Mann 51, Lu Dort 51, Josh Giddey 54, Shea 56, Trey Mann, Teo Maladon had 51, Trey Mann had 60, Poku had 61, and Darius Bazley had 69. I mean, that just tells you, like, we had so much injuries happen to us this year. You know, looking at when I drew the line at 50, I did that because pretty much at 49 and below, I would consider that almost half the season they missed because of 82 games season. So, you know, Kendrick Williams, JRE, Ty, Roby, Mike, they all were in the 40s. And to me, I'm looking at that, I'm circling it and saying, all we got to do is get these guys healthy, and we have a 40-win season on our hands. I truly believe that. You know, the way we played this season without these guys, I really feel like it's time for us to start talking about what we can accomplish next year. I think I look at it for next year and I say the goal needs to be 42 wins. You know, like, understanding that 42 wins will get us into the playoff, play-in position, maybe even get us into that sixth spot, sixth seed. To me, that would be an incredibly successful season, obviously. But here's the thing, Mark. We've got 3 very good draft picks this year in the first round. I say very good because we can package number 30 and number 15 or 14 or whatever it ends up being. And we can package those two and move up in the draft. There's so many things that we can do for these picks to happen. So when you're looking at this team, we're really cemented in who we have on our team and how long they're going to be here. But the reality is adding as many talented young players is key. I want to say something about the interview that I heard yesterday was I love it when you hear this commitment from players that they want to stay. A lot of times it's bullshit, and you can see right through it. Like, you know, LeBron saying, I want to finish my career in Cleveland or blah, 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 blah.
Or Cleveland or Miami or wherever he said
it last. Yeah, so, like, you hear that and you're like, oh, great for him. But when you hear somebody like Kendrick Williams say that he wants to retire in Oklahoma City, man, like, that makes me excited because he's one of those guys in the locker room, on the bench, in the games that gives his 110% at all times. And that's on the bench if he's been injured. At the games, man, he's one of the guys that is cheering the loudest at all times. I love it, man. I want him on our team until he's 40 years old. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, man, me either. Like, I definitely want him around, and he's the type of player that you need when you're trying to build a championship contender. You need a bunch of players that are stars in their role, and he understands that, and he's willing to take on that role, and I love it. I think it's the right time to be a Thunder fan. I think there's a lot of people who question what next season will hold. A lot of people are maybe trying to hold this team back, you know, in their heads, like, saying, well, why should we go out and compete? We haven't got the top 5 pick yet that we needed, yada, yada, yada. But the reason that we get really excited about what we saw, like, traditionally when you talk about NBA level basketball, what really comes down to is the talent you have. Like, if you have the right players, the right combination of players, then you can compete at a high level. But for us, why we look at it and say, you know, over 20 wins are important over the last 2 years is because we have a coach who is in a big way trying to implement a new system. And for former Thunder fans, or Thunder fans of the former, you know, teams, the former great teams, like, we understand that it was Russ, KD, and James Harden. Like, those guys, you know, the biggest ISO players in the NBA. And we are trying to find a way to move forward with a team that we have incredibly talented players, but they play team basketball and they aren't so reliant on, like, okay, give it to KD on the wing and let him go to work. You know, get Russ in the open court and let him go to work. Like, we have to find a way that the ball moves from side to side. We get the defense adjusting, we scramble, and we, you know, use all five players on the court to do two things better than really just about anybody else. We need them to pass the ball at a high level, and we need to be able to shoot the ball from three-point land at a high level. Those two things have to happen for our team to be able to compete for a championship. So while, yeah, like, the guys that we were plugging into some of those positions as the season went on weren't superstar, you know, like, talents at this stage in their career, but what we're seeing is, like, this transition to a new offense, a new system, a new style of play that is aesthetically pleasing, fun to watch, but also it's really important because it can compete at a high level and we can win a lot of games in a season doing it this way. So I'm all in on Coach Daigneault and what he's doing. I'm all in on Sam Presti, and it's fun to watch these young guys, you know, be the beneficiaries of what we're doing.
Absolutely, man. And I look at this season, I really break it up like I do every season, and break it up in half. I get my, I would say, best players in the first half of the season and then the best players in the second half. You know, obviously, the first half, you have Josh Giddey and Shea and Dort. All these guys played phenomenal, right? You look at people like Bazley and Isaiah Roby that didn't get a lot of time, or their time was just, you know, crunched up by not playing well. But the second half of the season, Isaiah Roby and Darius Bazley stepped up big time. They really showed that they belong on this team. There was a lot of questions whether Bazley was going to be able to get it done. I think he made that super fucking clear that he is here to stay. I say the same thing for Isaiah Roby. The way that he turned around and came out there just bawling in the second half, it says he averaged 10 points a game this season. But man, I have to say, the last 20 games, he really proved what type of player he is, the special type of athlete that he is, and it gets me excited. I look for Isaiah Roby to make a team-friendly contract really quickly here. I think they want to get him in a longer contract just to see what he's going to continue to get better. I look at Bazley as well. I think they're going to look at Bazley getting a team-friendly contract as well pretty quickly here. These guys are key to the future of this Thunder team. I know what people will say. I understand the whole concept of having a small big man is not okay with a lot of people. And that's fine to me. Like, I totally get that. But this is where this is going at this point. It doesn't mean that we don't go and get a center, we don't get the number one pick in the draft, and we're able to get Chet Holmes or whoever. You know what I'm saying? Like these are the guys that Sam Presti is really spending time to dedicate, and I don't know where we're going to land with this draft pick. But I do know that we're going to pick up the best player in the draft at that draft pick for what this team needs. And I'm excited about it, Mark. I would love to see untraditional big man in the aspect of a shooter that can play defense and that can push the ball up. But you know what, though, Mark? I love how the small ball feels. I love how it looks. And it just, to me, it reminds me of the city of Oklahoma City. You know, like the way they play, the style of play. It's, you know, Oklahoma City, I feel like, is full of a bunch of underdogs. And, we lived there for a very long time, and we were the same way. And I feel like with Oklahoma City is that, like, seeing these guys that are playing in the second round undrafted, these are all underdog guys. We're falling in love as a city with them because we get to see them get better every single day. And it's been inspirational for me. I know for you as well. And it's just been fun. It's been powerful to see this team really put things together. It's not the way we necessarily wanted to go. But you know what, though? Like we said, the worst case of scenario is we end up with a top five pick, you know?
Right. Yeah. And some people, that's their best case scenario. And that's been the fun part of this, like, whole process is, like, there isn't one thing that's happening here. There's a lot of things happening. And coming up, we have decisions to make about Théo Maledon and Derek Favors and a number of guys who we're going to either extend or potentially, you know, trade or kind of whatever. Like, we want to work with players like Derek Favors to help him reach his goals toward the end of his career. And I think he was able to show a lot. Like, you told me when we got Favors that you felt like we were going to build his value and look to move him to a different place. And I kind of questioned how much Derek Favors' value could be built. I felt like he was a known commodity and he was best known as a backup center, you know, to Gobert. But what I really came away from this season is realizing that he has a lot to offer, and the type of team that might be interested in him now is different. Now, he might only get a backup center role, but like, who considers him a valuable role player? That list has expanded, and there are teams that he would start if that was, you know, the prerogative of the team to move in that direction. It depends on your offense and it depends on what you're trying to do, but like, it's been really fun to watch, and Teo's been fun to watch, and I know that there's going to be one, two, or maybe more guys that aren't on the team next year, but every single guy that wore a Thunder fan, jersey, even if it was just for one or two games, I'm a fan of, and I will be a fan of, not just for like the next year or whatever, but I love watching these players. And some guys piss off the Oklahoma City faithful, and I understand that, but I still keep an eye on them. Like, a guy like Reggie Jackson, like, I look at his progression, like, it's been a crazy career for Reggie, but the fact that he at one time was a Thunder player makes it so I still, like, want to see him be successful. Even though, you know, it didn't end great for the Thunder as he went to Denver, I still look at it and I think he's a product of what we were able to build, and we're trying to build more of that, but hopefully in a different way than how it ended with Reggie. But it's just, it's going to be a process, and I enjoy it. I enjoy every day of it. The season's over for the Thunder. It bums me out because it's been fun to watch, but at the same time, like, it's going to be really nice to start out next season 0-0. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, we got a lot that really matters for this team between now and the start of the next season. But right now, I'm gearing up for a playoff series against the Celtics and the Nets, man. Which one are you looking forward to the most?
Man, I have to say, Friday, today, I am really looking forward to the Pelicans versus Clippers. I'm going to be watching that very, very closely. That excites me just because of what's on the line for us. But other than that, man, I have to say, I'm going straight up with Chris Paul. With those Suns, man, I want to see these guys do some great things. And the reason is because you talked about it. Oklahoma faithful, man. Like, I want to be faithful to those guys. That's why it broke my heart seeing how Russ was treated in Los Angeles. You know, he doesn't deserve that. He's a brilliant basketball player, brilliant mind. These guys are what we would consider building blocks of our, not just of that team, but they're also building blocks of this franchise. And I gotta say, like, seeing these guys play, it excites me, but more so having the opportunity to watch Al Horford play with the Celtics and, you know, Chris Paul with the Suns. I think it would be great to see Celtics Suns championship, bro.
That would be intriguing. That would be fun.
What about you? Yeah, who do you see, man?
You know, it's so hard because I feel like this season, more than any other season, the regular season just kind of is irrelevant. And teams that, like the Lakers, that didn't take care of business, obviously they didn't make it. But a team like the Nets, I look at and I'm like, you know, they could fuck around for 82 games and then show up and play really good basketball and go in and win a championship as a 7 seed.
Beat, like, the Celtics in the first round?
Stuff. Yeah, I mean, right. It can happen. I agree. It can happen because of the level of talent and the way that it just was insignificant for teams to play good ball during the season. I don't know why. And it really bit the Lakers in the ass, but like, there was just a sense that, like, well, it's okay, we'll make the play-in game. And not everybody did that was hoping to do that. But you know, some teams went on a little bit of a run. A team like the Pelicans was able to pick up a player in McCollum that really changed things around. But I mean, I don't know, man. Like, at this stage for me, I'm with you about Chris Paul. Like, I want to see him win one. I felt like last year was his best chance that he'd ever have.
But this team, I feel like, is better.
They could be better, but you still need to be very fortunate in your run to get to the finals. And
is there a team, you know, that you're circling saying that they're going to have a really hard time beating in a 7-game series?
Yeah, I mean, the Warriors, if the Warriors are healthy, that'll be, you know, a huge challenge for any team. The thing is,
do you think Memphis,
there's a number of teams like,
do you think Memphis has a chance to get the Western Conference Finals?
Yeah, like, do you, that's the craziest thing. It's like it's so deep. You don't like the Jazz and the Nuggets could suddenly start playing really good basketball. You don't know what you're gonna get. I think it's really fascinating because I've never felt like there isn't a favorite.
Yeah.
Like I do this year. Like there's always that team. There's always that, you know, whatever. But I mean, like you picked two teams from the East, and I think are completely relevant. But at the same time, to me, it's all about who starts playing the best basketball for the playoffs. And like it could be either the Nets or the Celtics from that one series that go on to win the finals. It really could be because, you know, they each have that level of talent, and if they can stay healthy, they can get the wins they need to. It's yeah. there, and I love it. I don't know of any season like this.
All right. Let's just do it. Let's just talk about the series that are at hand. Like, I'll tell you who I feel is going to win. Then you, like, throw in there if you agree or disagree. But we got Atlanta-Cleveland tonight at 7:30. I'm going to go with Cleveland. I like Atlanta a lot. I like Trae Young a lot. But Cleveland seems to have things together right now. What do you feel?
I mean, this is another example of not playing very good basketball during the regular season for Atlanta. Yeah. But I've seen them, and I've seen them quick, and I'm like, damn, that team is really, really yep. dangerous in a 7-game series. So I have to really feel like Atlanta's the team, although there were moments in the season where I felt like Cleveland could easily make it to the conference sure. finals. And now, but I just feel like with Atlanta shooters and the way they go so deep on the bench with really quality shooters, I mean, I don't even think they have to be healthy. They just have to get hot.
Well, and yeah, and you know, they got the one game tonight against Cleveland, and that's it. So it just has to be whoever has the hot hand, I feel like, against Cleveland, right. against Atlanta.
And the size of yeah. Cleveland. I mean, you never know. Exactly. Like, so I'm just so surprised that Atlanta wasn't able to, you know, play the level that they played last year. But then again,
but they put
that shit happens.
But they put that huge run on last year, right?
Yeah, in the playoffs, right?
Before the playoffs. Just before the playoffs, okay. They went on this massive run to, like, anyways. Then you have Pelicans LA. I'm going with the Pelicans just because I'm cheering for them. What do you feel, man?
Yeah, I mean, I need the Pelicans to win for our Clippers pick to, you know, be great. And plus, you know, I don't like the Clippers on top of that. But, like, here's the deal about the Pelicans, right? Like, what do they have to prove? I kind of feel like they already proved it, right? What was their whole intention of the McCollum trade and all this stuff? They needed to prove to Zion that they were serious about winning now. And getting into the play-in game, I think that gets it done. Yeah, they would rather make it to the playoffs. But at this stage, I feel like, you know, they're kind of playing with house money. That can be dangerous. But, you know, I mean, think about what Patrick Beverley did whenever he won the play-in game. Like this is a big deal to people.
He got fined $50,000. For extreme profanity.
I didn't hear the profanity. Did you hear the profanity?
I mean, I saw his lips, you know, screaming, fuck yeah, like running around the court and stuff like that, you know. But, like, of course you're not going to play that on live TV. Or not live TV, but replays.
They should have fined him 150 grand so he would think next time. But 50 grand's not enough.
And he got fined 25 a few weeks ago, too. So, you know,
I don't really think it's bad to say swear words. I just want him to go away because he hurt yeah. Russ.
I want him to go away, but on the same sense is that I love the passion. I wouldn't mind if, like, we had that type of leadership, which we have in Kendrick Williams, really. You know, like, I look at Kendrick yeah. as the same type of leader as Patrick Beverley. It's that hard nose going to get in your face. You know, Patrick Beverley runs practice a certain way, and I hear Kendrick Williams is very similar in that way of very rough, very tough, and getting out there. So, we got Utah and Dallas, man. I'm going with Utah this way. I know Dallas is whatever, but there's a big question mark whether Luka is going to be able to play at 100%. And so for me, I'm just going straight up Utah on this one.
Yeah, because they rescinded his final technical, then he suffered a calf strain like right before the playoffs, and now there's a question. And you know what? It's got to be Utah.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like the narrative is already being written about how Luka is better than the Mavericks. The Mavericks can't, you know, keep up. And then Luka has got to start looking to go somewhere else or, you know, whatever. I don't think that Cuban would ever trade Luka, but in the end, like, I want him unhappy because I'm from Oklahoma City and I hate Dallas.
100%, man. All right. Do you think Minnesota has a chance to beat Memphis?
Yeah, they got a chance. I mean, I've seen, okay, Adams at your center, right? And yep. Now he's going up against Towns. And if Towns can knock down the three with any regularity, like, then, which he can, we know that about him, then you don't have the same effect of having Adams in the post. And it's not just that. Like, we've seen the Timberwolves play at a really high level against us. So I know that they're capable of not playing at that level, but we've seen them knock down a lot of threes. We've seen them get out there and play in, you know, the fast break in the open court. They have a lot of things to like about them, so they're capable of it. Now, the thing about Memphis is, I feel like they have a different level of role player, and that role player makes a big difference. Like, Ja is special, but without the other guys on Memphis's team right now, I feel like they're gonna, it's gonna be tough. It's gonna be tough for both teams, but I just think when you think about Memphis and you think about Dylan Brooks and you think about those types of guys who understand their role and go out in the role, that's the type of stuff you need for playoff victories.
I agree, man. I agree. Looking at Toronto and Philadelphia, I think Toronto can win a couple games here because I feel like Scotty Barnes is a phenomenal player, and I think he's going to have his playoff coming out party. He's just a, you know, unbelievable player, and he's just going to match up really well against the 76ers. So, I feel like Toronto can win a couple games there, but ultimately Philadelphia is just going to put their foot on their throat, Toronto's throat, and just go at it.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, that's the logical thing. But if you think about it from, you know, what could the Raptors pull off? I mean, they could effectively end Doc Rivers, you know, time in Philly if they come out and beat them. And whenever you feel that going into a series, there's a chance that things will go wrong. Like, I just feel like the way that the Raptors play is a lot like how we want to play, right? They trust each other, the ball moves from side to side, and they shoot the three ball at a high level. And that is really tough to defend, and that's the key right there, is that the Sixers have to find a way to defend. If they don't defend the Raptors, then they're in trouble, and the Raptors will beat anybody. They just will. They go out, and if they get hot at the right time, and they have big-time players have hit big shots in big moments, so we know that they're capable. So I'm going for the Raptors, wow. Bro. I'm thinking there's going to be a little shocker right there. I mean, I see enough cracks in, like, the whole scheme of the Sixers. Like, Harden is getting his finger pointed at there. You know, Coach Rivers is on his way out. It feels like, even though he's probably not, and everybody's, you know, looking at Joel Embiid, like, he's going to lead them, but I get it. Like, he's capable of putting up 43-15 and leading the team to a couple of wins, but can he do that on enough times to beat a team that plays as a team? And I question that.
Yeah, and I think what we talked about earlier about Phoenix, we're discussing about them and who could be their biggest competition. You said Golden State, which they play against Denver. Do you feel like Denver, I like Denver, but, you know, with them not being healthy, do you think Joka is enough to beat Golden State?
Bones, bro. You got to remember Bones. Like, seriously, that bench unit, when he's coming off the bench, it's seriously impactful. Yeah. And they can really light teams up. But, yeah, without Jamal Murray, it's easy to look at them and say, yeah, they could easily get knocked out of the first round. But I just feel like, you have to find a way. Like you said, you got to stop Joker. And then after that, what happens? I don't know. But you look at the players that have been through the Nuggets system through the years. You look at the players they have right now. They know how to shoot the ball. And they know how to spread the court. And, you know, everybody talks about in the playoffs, like, the games get tighter. They get more physical. You know, what you do in the interior matters more because of the, like, shooting is less reliable and things like that. But, dude, Denver, they're legit. They're legit, and people are counting them out. So, yeah, I'm going Denver, bro.
Sweet. We have two games on Sunday that are to be determined. Miami and Phoenix play against the winners. Obviously, we don't know who that's going to be. We can speculate, but we'll talk about that another day. Brooklyn versus Boston. You know, this is Boston's biggest competition in the East, I feel like, man. Like, I get it. There's Milwaukee, you know, but Boston's on another level of sorts right now, and I look at Brooklyn as being one of those teams that really could make one of those upsets that are special, you know, like, you know, KD healthy, Kyrie healthy, you know, Ben Simmons is coming and playing. Like, this team could do something special, like you said. But I feel like unless something, you know, Ben Simmons comes out and he's playing crazy basketball, yeah, Brooklyn wins in six. Boston, though, in my opinion, has the upper hand at this moment, and I'm going to go Boston in six. You know, they got the rookie of the – or the coach of the year, in my opinion, over there in Boston. Unbelievable job there. You know, I'm cool with it, man. I feel like this is a team that could do something great, but Brooklyn is definitely their biggest competition as of right now.
Yeah, and I'm going to have to go Brooklyn. I just feel like they're – you know, they got that playoff experience. They got, you know, championships. They got what it takes there. And then you throw in the wild card of Ben Simmons, an all-NBA level player who they might just be able to mix into the, you know, to what they've been doing. I don't know how much he's been practicing. I don't know how much he's been, you know, scrimmaging. But I just have a feeling with a guy like him, like, if he decides to come in and be a part of what's going on, like, he will impact the games in a positive way for his team. And the nice thing is, like, a lot of times when you have a player come in, they want to take too many shots, you know? Like, they feel like they have to shoot their way into rhythm, and you're not going to get that with him. So I feel like there's a natural fit there, and, I mean, it could work out. I do get worried about a player coming back during the playoffs. I mean, I think that's extremely dangerous, especially when they sat out for a whole year for injury or otherwise. It's just, you know, that level of play is intense. But, you know, I think even without Simmons, the Nets have what it takes to get it done.
Yeah, I think you're right. The last game and last series that we have is Chicago versus Milwaukee. I don't think that this is going to be too much of a series. I think it could go to five, maybe six, if Chicago DeRozan comes out playing like he did in the middle of the season, scoring an epic, one of the greatest scoring sprees in NBA history. I do think that they could do that, but ultimately the Milwaukee Bucks are reigning champions. They're a really good team. Looking at the East, you got Brooklyn, Boston, Milwaukee, and Heat. Those are the four teams that are really the best teams in the East, and one of them I feel like are going to obviously walk away out of the East. But I don't know, man. I'm looking at Milwaukee as being one of those things that if Boston and Brooklyn go seven games and it's hard, really, really hard, and Miami has trouble, you know, for whatever reason, putting away, you know, what is it, Atlanta or Cleveland, then, yeah, I could see that Milwaukee would be in a really good position to be rested and healthy and ready to go for round two and do some crazy damage.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot there, and I definitely agree that it'd be fascinating. But if I was going to pick a series, man, I'd love to see that Miami-Atlanta series. I really feel like they're pretty equally matched, although Miami was playing better during the regular season. If they're both playing at their best, I do feel like they're pretty equal.
Yeah, and Jimmy Butler, man, you know, there's the Jimmy factor. If he starts getting unhappy or whatever, you know, who knows what's going to happen. So, it sucks that the Thunder aren't here. It sucks that we haven't been able to, you know, root for playoff basketball for a couple of years. But I have to say, man, this is going to be some fun basketball just because of the way that the pandemic ended some people's seasons early because of the crunch schedules and everybody's getting healthy all of a sudden. But, you know, I look at Los Angeles Clippers, man. Let's just say they get the eighth seed, and they're looking at playing against Phoenix, man. Like, if they're healthy or semi-healthy, I mean, that's a great series in itself. So we've never seen something like this. I look back and I say we've never seen it, but, you know, you got to look back the year that Tim Duncan was a rookie, and, you know, the New York Knicks as a eighth seed made it to the finals, or a seventh seed, whatever it was, playing against the Spurs. So it's happened before, but, you know, that's because the Knicks were injured all season and they finally were able to get things together. So, again, I don't know. We'll see.
And it was a lockout shortened season. And that type of stuff happens at any time that it's a condensed season. There's more variance, and anything can take place in, you know, when you get to the playoffs. And, yeah, I mean, I'm fascinated about this playoffs probably more than I have been in a long time, because so many years it feels like we're just like kind of like we know who's going to make the finals. So it's just kind of like watching it happen in slow motion. And this year, I mean, you could come up with, you know, five different finals matchups that and make a serious case for them, and it would be nothing, you know.
You can make 10. I mean, really. I mean, there's four teams in the East and five teams in the West that I would consider that have a legit opportunity to make it, you know. And, you know, that's insane. You know, like, you can go so many different ways with those matchups. If there's nine matchups, different matchups that could happen, you know, that could be, what, I don't know, 18, something like that. Insane. Like, we're talking about a legitimate opportunity to sit back and really just watch some great basketball. The East has finally evened out what I would consider the West dominance for so many years. And it's going to be interesting to see how this East team, and man, I would love to see KD get a championship there for Brooklyn. You know, imagine the Nets winning a championship in New York before the Knicks won a championship.
Yeah.
I would love totally. That shit, bro. It would be great.
Yeah, I mean, I do. I like seeing that KD's healthy, but I do stop short of hoping he'll win another chip there personally, you know?
Well, I mean, I look at, out of all the old, what I would consider the old guard of the NBA, you know, there's KD, LeBron, you know, Steph Curry. I mean, all these old guys are getting up there in age now. I look at all of them, you know, Chris Paul, and I say Chris Paul would be my one that I would want to see win a championship the most, but I mean, KD, though, I mean, he gave so much to Oklahoma City. Yeah, he's a little punk, but, like, I don't, you know, like, when you're one of the world's best basketball players, you have the ability to do that. So, again, I'm not too big on it. I hope that there's an opportunity for him to do it. So, anyways, but.
Well, agree to disagree. He's a little. But, hey, I do. I am happy that he's having success. I just, I'd prefer if everybody always considered the fact that all of his championships were won, you know, being number two. That's what I want.
I agree. All right, man. Well, I appreciate everyone listening. This has been another great podcast. We'll be back on Monday. I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about after this. And yeah, man, I'm pumped. It'll be a good season to watch next year in the beginning of the season. And the off season is going to be fun because we're going to start breaking down players. And what we see in these draft picks. So definitely stay tuned next.
We'll be getting after that right away. So thanks for joining us, everybody, and we'll see you then. And as always, this episode was brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.